Please take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28 through 26, 12 this morning. Let's ask God to guide our time together. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your word that gives us everything we need for life and godliness, for the wisdom that we so desperately need. But I pray that you would use this time as we look at your word, help me to clearly explain the truths that are here, help us to understand what it means, and then to take and apply that to our lives, that we would live differently, more like Jesus as a result of our time here today. Mold us, fashion us through your spirit, through your word, to be like him, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to tell my message this morning, how to interact with fools. How to interact with fools. I've noticed over the years how often older people tend to interact with their phone as a necessary evil, right? There's this love-hate relationship that goes with having one of these sometimes. And it can be, you know, kind of like, you know, just start pushing buttons sometimes and hope something works. And then wonder why you have problems with it, you know. And I know this is kind of a characterization, but often we do that in life, don't we? We just kind of haphazardly try to interact with life and hope things turn out. And then we wonder why we have problems. And Proverbs, these 25, 28 through 26, 12, helps us to learn how to interact with fools, something we should be more careful about, but often we have this haphazard interactions, and sometimes they don't turn out quite so well as we would hope. We need carefulness in this. Last week, we learned from our study of the book of Proverbs, as we continue studying the further sayings of Solomon, how to avoid conflicts from the practices of first practicing good conduct. We saw moderation. We need moderation in our food and our visits. Consideration. Don't lie against your neighbor. Put confidence in the unfaithful or be insensitive to the heavy-hearted. And then remuneration. We should be kind to our enemies. You know, show kindness to them as we have experienced that. And then, secondly, practicing good communication. Carefulness, not backbiting or contention in the home. Encouragement, to bring good news, not discourage by godly people giving in to the wicked. And then humility, don't seek your own glory, but instead leave that to others and leave that to the Lord. Now we continue studying King Solomon's further wise sayings, which really is chapters 25, 26, 27, 28, and 29, as we learn more of the 3,000 proverbs that God wanted us to have, and that he used Hezekiah's men to record and put them into their final form for us. And from this, I think we can learn how to interact with fools from three instructions in these verses. In verses 25, 28 through 26, 12. And you'll notice, if you look ahead in this chapter, chapter 26 especially has a number of portraits of bad individuals. We're going to study the fool today, and then next week we'll be looking at the lazy, the meddler, and the liar. Some real positive things, but lessons to learn from all of that. So what are these instructions that God wants us to have? First instruction, determine the character of the fool. Verse 28 through 26, 2. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls, as snow in summer and rain in harvest. So honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. These verses, Solomon is instructing how, first, if you don't rule your own spirit, meaning if you lack self-control, then you are like a broken-down city without walls. Remember Nehemiah lamenting the state of Jerusalem, and because it was defenseless. In Nehemiah 1:3, he's recognizing how vulnerable it is. In those days, to be secure, you needed a wall around the city. In fact, you know, there's one of the kings in 2 Chronicles 32, 5, you know, talks about building up the walls and repairing the breaches and things like that. That's a good thing, right? Because if you don't, you're vulnerable. This is why we earlier back in chapter 16, verse 32, it said, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Because you know, when you're angry, you're opening yourself up for all sorts of temptation. This is why Ephesians talks, you know, warns, "Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Don't give place to the devil." You open yourself wide open when you are out of control, when you're not ruling your own spirit, when you're not self-controlled. And according to Proverbs 19:19, that kind of person needs continual rescuing. He needs lots of help because he always keeps getting himself into a pickle. You ever known someone like that who's angry a lot and they end up, you know, doing stupid stuff that maybe they even end up in prison for a short time or whatever, or, you know, they get pulled over by the cops and say stupid things and just let their mouth run away with them. You know, it's a dangerous place to be. In fact, chapter 22, verse 24 warns of having that kind of person as a friend because they will suck you in and you will experience some of the consequences as well. So this is the character of a fool, one who is out of control. Secondly, honor is not fitting for a fool. It compares it to snow and summer and rain and harvest. Those are unusual things, right? That's not the way things should be. And so he's saying this is not appropriate. Honor for a fool is not appropriate. Back in chapter 17, verse 7, it says, "Excellent speech is not becoming a fool, much less lying lips to a prince." You know, this is not normal. Or 19:10, you know, luxury for a fool. It's not a good thing to give luxury to a fool. They're just going to waste it, right? I mean, you see this happen when people all of a sudden, you know, they go from making nothing to making huge amounts of money, whether it's in the sports industry or entertainment industry. And what do they do with that? Often it's just wasted, right? Because it's not, they haven't learned how to handle it. It's not appropriate. And so, you know, these unusual events, 1 Samuel 12:17 just talks about, you know, they were shocked when you had rain and harvest there, you know, and they're shook up because that was out of place. You know, that's how this should be. Don't give honor to a fool. Verse 8 is going to say, like one who binds a stone in a sling is one who gives honor to a fool. That's a stupid thing to do, right? You know, bind a stone in a sling. You know, it's like, you know, what's going to happen? It's not going to go out of the sling, so where's it going to go? It's probably going to whack upside your head and cause pain. You know, so we'll talk more about that here in a little bit. And then there's third is the a curse without cause or undeserved doesn't alight, and compares that to a flitting or flying sparrow or swallow, right? My parents, especially where they have a barn, as part of what we fixed in this last project was, you know, they would always be in there and go in and out and get all the bugs and stuff. Bugs, getting the bugs is great, but living in your barn, not so much. They tend to, you know, leave reminders of their dwellings all over the place and all over your stuff you're trying to keep nice in there. You know, but try to catch them, right? I mean, they're just never really stay still. They're always moving around. And that's the idea here, a curse without cause. It's undeserved. You know, when somebody curses and you don't really deserve that, you're like, whatever. You're just being dumb, right? This happened in Israel's history. Balaam tried to curse at the bequest and payment of Balak, the king of Moab. And what happened? It didn't work because they didn't deserve that. In fact, God twisted it so they got blessed instead of cursed. It's really kind of a funny story if you go read that back in Numbers 23 or Deuteronomy 23. So the foolish... You know, you know where the foolish source is coming from, and so you don't listen to it, right? So this is determining the character. Now, when you're interacting with animals, you'll figure out pretty quick that you need to kind of assess, is this an animal I can trust, or is this an animal that you never turn your back on and carry a big stick, right? Some of you know what I'm talking about, especially if you're dealing with cattle out in the cattle lot. You are very careful, or you're dealing with a dog, you don't want to startle them, you don't want to, you know, start coming in. I mean, this is why kids sometimes are not great around animals. They don't understand how to interact with them. You know, And when you pet the cat, you know, don't go this way, go this way, right? Like, they don't like that when you make them all static electricity. It's kind of fun for a second, but when they start spitting and clawing, that's not a good thing. Or you start yelling at them, right? I mean, humans don't like it. Why do you think animals like it any better, right? I mean, learning to know what kind of animal you're dealing with. Are you just as careful with people until you know their character? Are they saved or are they unsaved? Are they wise or are they a fool? Is this someone you need to be careful around? Is this someone you can trust? It's like your kids. You don't say everything that you want to say around kids. Because if you do, that will get repeated in places that you don't want it repeated. You need wisdom in that. And I think this is a great application because if we understand what Proverbs says, we all start out as fools, right? As children, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child with the rod of correction and the driver of profitability. And left to ourselves, we will stay fools. So all of us interact with fools on a regular basis if we interact with kids. And not to mention kids, because we're all there, right? We all started out there. But knowing how to deal with it. I mean, this is why this is appropriate for all of us, to know how we should interact. So do you understand how lack of self-control leaves you wide open to destruction, right? If you just follow your desires, no control, where will that end up? According to Romans 6, it'll end up in death, eternal death. The wages of sin is death. And so when you just go after your desires, you're going to be out of control and you're ultimately be punished by God. You know, as parents, we have a responsibility to intervene and seek to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to spare them from that. And learn to follow God rather than to follow our own desires, right? This is why Scripture, in Romans 6 through 8, what's the solution to that? Give your body, you're trusting in Jesus Christ. Don't live the way you used to live. Live the way God calls us to. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. That's where hope is. That's the way of wisdom. It's really the, Galatians 5, it's the walking in the fruit of the Spirit as well. And then, secondly, do you realize how inappropriate it is to honor a fool? This is why we joke about this, but, participation prizes? Is that really helpful in the end? Everybody's a success. No, we all have room to learn and grow, right? And sometimes it isn't, we need the challenge and the encouragement. So that's not going to go better in life if you keep rewarding people for doing stupid things. This is part of the problem with the welfare system, right? I mean, you're rewarding people for being stupid rather than encouraging them to do the right. And then lastly, you see how ineffective undeserved curses are. You consider the source. And if it's like, that's just coming from a fool, ignore it, right? I've had someone yelling in my face, screaming at me, calling me all sorts of names. And I realized, this is, I'm doing what God wants me to do. And His opinion is the one I really need to be concerned about. Not what this other person thinks of me. Not change my behavior because of man, but instead seek to follow God. Contrast that. I remember as a teen, my brother-in-law telling me that, why are you always so negative? And it struck home. Because the more I thought about it, I realized he was right. And that was a godly man telling me what I needed to hear. And by God's grace, I learned from that and was a little less foolish after that. Right? So consider the source. Is it coming from a fool or a wise person? And as we do, determine a fool's character. So first instruction, determine their characters. Second instruction, deal carefully with them in verses 3 through 10. A whip for a horse, a bridle for a donkey, a rod for the fool's back. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him, also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. We'll talk about that. Wise, there seems two different answers there, right? He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. A vivid picture. Like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb in the fool mouth of fools. Like one who binds a stone in a sling, very stupid thing, is he who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. He doesn't feel it. And then this verse 10, which is a lot of different translations translate different. It's really hard to know what it's saying here, but the great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope of a fool than him. Sorry, included those last two verses there for you. So what is this? Dealing carefully with fools. Solomon is saying here, first, you know, fools need to be punished. That's really the only language that they understand. It compares them to a horse and a donkey. You need a whip for a horse and a bridle for the donkey. Psalm 32:9 says, you know, those are the kind of things you use, right? To control that kind of animal. A fool needs a rod. We've seen this before in the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 13. 19:29 or 25, 22:15 is, you know, the fool, the only language he really understands is a beating because he's not listening to your words. This is why foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. As we all start out as fools in life, that's the language we first understand. Now, eventually you can reason with your child, but it always gets me when parents of like 2-year-olds are trying to reason with them. Like, do you understand? Their reasoning capacity is just really not there yet. Okay? I mean, sometimes they're not there with teenagers, right? I mean, they say that the connection between, you know, your judgment making and the rest of you is, like, scientifically hasn't totally developed yet. That's why we don't let teens do a lot of things. Okay? You're getting there. We've all been there. We look back and we say, yeah, I was young and dumb. But at the time, you think you know everything, and you think you're invincible. That's not a great thing to do, you know, be trusting with a lot of responsibility. But it's a process, right? So, you know, this is where the fool needs the rod, right? It is appropriate. That's the language they understand. And then he says this. First, you need to ignore the fool. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Don't get sucked in. Right? You talk his language, he's not going to understand you. You're just going to become foolish yourself. So you need wisdom to interact. He, according to 23 verse 9, he'll despise your words. Or 29 verse 9, he'll give you no peace. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 7. You cast your pearls before swine. What do? They trample on them. You know, they turn and rend you. When you try to be nice to them, you try to give them your wisdom, and they just beat you up over it, mock you. Yet then the next verse says that you should expose them, right? Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So there's a time to speak up. When? To expose their foolishness, and so they won't continue to think that he knows everything. Because the reality is that he doesn't know anything. I mean, really. Chapter 28, verse 11, talks about the rich person who is wise in his own eyes, but the poor is understanding and searches him out. Right? Often people who have money think they know more than they really do. Then there's the warning of Isaiah 5:21. This is, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes. Instead, Romans 12:16 says we need humility. Paul in 1 Corinthians 8:2 says you know nothing. Right? Or Galatians 6:3, you're self-deceived. The one who is wise in his own eyes. So when you think you know better, that's when it's time to be watching out. Because you probably don't really know as much as you think you know. So there is a place for exposing that and letting them see, helping them to see that they really don't know. And especially as others are listening to them. So sometimes you ignore, sometimes you need to expose. And then these next several verses 6 through 10, is urging carefulness in dealing with a fool. Because first, if you try to send a message by a fool, it's like cutting off your own feet and drinking violence. I mean, what happens if you cut your own feet off? You can't, you're helpless, right? You can't do anything. And that's really what, when you're entrusting a message to a fool, it's not going to happen. Better you did nothing. In fact, chapter 10, verse 26 compares it also there to vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes when you entrust a fool. Chapter 13, verse 17, it'll only bring trouble. Instead of, you know, as we saw recently in chapter 25, verse 13, when you send it by a faithful messenger, it's refreshing. It's a good thing, right? You are blessed when you trust faithful people instead of faithless. Then verse 7, they're like the legs of the lame. Literally, it's the draw up the leg, right? I mean, they can't walk on it. It's tight. Is a proverb in the mouth of fools. They know the words, but it like get the timing all off. Right? Part of a proverb is knowing when to say it and when it applies. And you know, a fool just totally ruins that and makes it ineffective. Then it goes on, like one who binds a stone in a sling is the one who gives honor to a fool. It's a stupid thing to do. You know? Ultimately, you'll probably end up hurting yourself rather than actually throwing the stone where it needs to go, and probably whacked upside the head. Then the last picture he uses here is, well, I guess the second to last, is the thorn in the hand of a drunk. It goes into the hand of a drunkard. It's kind of this, back in 23, verse 35, the one who's drunk and says, they struck me, but I was not hurt. They beat me, I didn't feel it. It's not because he wasn't hurt, it's because he doesn't feel it. He's insensitive to it. So the proverb in the mouth of fools, they don't realize that it actually applies to them. They're using this proverb, but they're the one that needs to apply it to their own life. Just like the drunkard who gets hurt and doesn't feel it. And then comes verse 10. Maybe you noticed, maybe your translation is a different. Mine says, the great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. Now, in my translation, God and his hire, there's a number of words that are in italics. That means they're not in the original, okay? So they've been supplied by the translators to try to help us understand this verse. Literally, the what is there, the great. So it's the word for master, could also be translated archer. And then it's something about much or lots, everywhere kind of thing. And then the last part's a little, you know, giving the fool hire and transgressor wages. So this is why different translations will translate this. An archer who wounds at random is the one, you know, it's like a fool who's been given his wages. So the idea is, either way, no matter how you understand this, is the overall thought is you get what you deserve, right? If you could sum up the verse, no matter which translation you take, it is, you're getting what you deserve, whether it's God doing it or whether that's you're around a guy who's just randomly firing arrows. I mean, that's when you should duck and cover, because if you don't, you're probably going to get run through, right? I mean, you're getting what you deserve. So the same thought is there either way. And the idea is, being around a fool, that would happen. So we need to be very careful as we deal with fools. This is not something you should rush into lightly. It's like being around animals, right? If you don't deal carefully with an animal, what's going to happen? You're going to get hurt, or you know, you're going to ruin them. I had an uncle who had a blue heeler, right? You know how blue heelers are very smart dogs. My other uncle, as that dog was a pup, picked him up and threw him off a porch. That dog never forgave my uncle that. Every time he would come in the driveway, he would try to bite his tires. In fact, he broke teeth because he bit the car tire and got flipped over. You know, and never forgave. Ruined their relationship forever because of that. We, one time, my dad felt sorry for a dog that was going to be put down and brought him home. That dog had been ruined. He had been chained up, never let off, barked constantly, just would not shut up. And as soon as he got off his chain, he was gone. I don't know how many times we spent running all over the neighborhood trying to find him, bring him home. He was ruined. Eventually, we had to get rid of him because he hadn't been dealt carefully with. Are you dealing carefully with fools so you don't make them worse? Do you see the need for punishment to train them? This is why we spank our kids, because it's part of God's design. They understand that. Now, there will come a point where they understand more the instruction, but it makes the point stick. This is why we give fines and prisons, imprisonment for stupid actions. Now, if you'd learn from a child, hopefully you would avoid those. But if you don't learn that, then eventually the consequences become more severe. And now you end up in prison or death as a final punishment. And that's what God does with us, right? The wages of sin is death. If we will not listen to God's instruction, if we will not heed the wisdom of His Word and stay the fools that we are born, then ultimately we'll experience the pain of eternal punishment. This is reality. And God in His grace has dealt so graciously with us. And that's why I picked songs that talk about the mercy and grace of God. And how foolish we are, and yet how kind God has been to us. And then, secondly, do you ignore fools so you don't get sucked into their foolishness, yet know when their foolishness needs to be exposed? This is where Galatians 6:1, we who are spiritual need to deal with those who are in sin in the church. Right? You see a brother in sin, you need to be careful, though, that you don't get sucked into their sin. Because you go to them, you confront their sin, they probably may get angry at you, you get angry in return, now you've sinned. That's why it says, those who are spiritual. But we need to do it. It says, judge not lest you be judged. But then it goes on to say, don't be hypocritical. Remove the log from your eye and then go deal with their speck. Right? So we do have responsibility. Be careful. Paul models this. He says he became a fool to speak to fools. In 2 Corinthians 11:16-17. But he warns, take heed, right? 1 Corinthians 10:12. Take heed. Those who think they know everything really know nothing. And it's so easy to be self-deceived. This is why we need the light of the Word of God to expose sin. This is what we need to speak to people. Not our wisdom, not what we think, not what we've learned. We need the truth of God to shine into hearts. Ephesians 5:6-4 there, with the children of, we're called to be children of light, not, and expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't go along with it. Satan wants to keep people in the dark, right? He wants to keep people thinking they're wiser than they really are. And he doesn't want the light of the gospel to shine in, as 2 Corinthians 4:4-6 explain. He doesn't want the gospel to be shared. This is why there's such opposition to it in our world. And yet that is what our world needs so desperately, is the truth of the gospel. Are we sharing this with others? That's what will save the fool. Do you see how if we're not careful with fools, it's like cutting off your own feet. It makes us helpless. It makes us lame. It's useless. Binding a stone in a sling, it's stupid or insensitive like a thorn in a drunk's hand. Or being the, deserve around a random archer. You deserve it, right? And when you go to bars and hang out there, you may deserve the consequences of that kind of thing. Or as staying up late with adolescents and teens. Sometimes the headache you get the next day and some of that's just the consequences. Surfing the internet, chat rooms. I mean, there's a lot of stupid people in those places, right? They're just stupid comments. Trolls, we call them. Gossip joints in town. I mean, you go to the places where they sit around and talk, and guys are just as bad about this as ladies, right? I mean, we can tell you, it's the elevator, it's Casey's, it's Night Stop. I mean, those are the places that they go talk about the world's problems and solve none of them, right? And do nothing, just talk, talk, talk. You know, it's not really profitable to be hanging around those places. I like what Ron the cop here in town, former cop, who's retired now, but said nothing much good happens after midnight. I mean, if people are out around at those hours, it's usually not good things that are happening, right? So don't go those places. Are you dealing carefully with fools? And then the last instruction, distinguish their end, as these verses are read about the dog returning to his vomit. Solomon is instructing here, you know, to distinguish their end. A fool repeats folly like a dog returning to vomit. If you've ever owned a dog, you've probably seen this happen, right? They ate something, didn't agree with them, they puke it up, and what do you know, 5 seconds later, they're back over there eating it again. You're like, oh, that's so gross and disgusting. Like, you realize you just puked that up for a reason. You know, they don't know any better, right? It's their nature. In fact, 2 Peter 2:22 quotes this verse and applies it to the false teachers, right? They're going back and doing it again. That's what a fool does. It repeats, or they're falling. This is why when someone goes through only moral reformation, not transformation, they will eventually revert to their old ways. They're not going to really truly be changed. Instead, they'll be hardened in their sin and not really learn. It's like Pharaoh, right? He finally was forced to let the Israelites go, and as soon as the consequences are gone, now he's back at it. He's trying to get them back in. Instead, of Psalm 85, verse 8, we should learn from that, right? Don't be like one who goes back. And then secondly, as Solomon says, there's more hope of a fool than one who is wise in his own eyes. Chapter 29, verse 20, it's also said of the one who's hasty in his words. Because what can you do with a fool, right? We've already talked about this. A fool can be beaten, right? I mean, that's foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, a rod for the fool's back. They can learn. But one who is wise in their own eyes, good luck. There's nothing you can say to them that will change their mind. And they're just going to keep going the way they are. They're the hardened fool. They have been self-deceived. They know nothing. Revelation 3:17, you know, these are the people that think they're rich and they need nothing when they're really wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. This is the Pharisee who goes to praying and says, God, I thank you. I'm not like that dirty, rotten tax collector over there. I do this. I tithe even my herbs. I do all this. I pray so many times a day. I got it all figured out. Meanwhile, the tax collector over there, God, I am so dirty, rotten. Forgive me. And what does it say? He went home justified. Not the Pharisee. See, he doesn't know he's, you know, it's Jesus that I came to heal the sick. You know, those who think they're well have no need of a physician. You can't help them because they don't see their need. That's why we need to help someone to see the need of, you know, that they're a sinner before the good news means anything. It's kind of like animals, right? You got a cow with a bad disposition. What's the best thing you can do in the end? Ship it off to the locker, right? I mean, you can't trust it. That's in their nature. They're unpredictable, and you're going to regret it if you keep that animal around. You know, a dog that bites somebody, you're just asking for that, right? And often that's why we had to make those hard decisions. Are you distinguishing where fools will end up? The one who, you know, as Proverbs says here, they think they know, right, their way. Chapter 14, verse 12 and 16, 25. Same verse. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. See, they think they know, but they're actually on the path of death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's where they will go. And a child left to himself, according to 29:15, will bring shame to his shame to his mother, but the rod and the rebuke will give wisdom. Do you realize that they will keep repeating their folly like a dog returning to its own vomit? I mean, it didn't sit well the first time, and they don't think about eating it again. This is why, you know, the insanity, it's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing again and again, expecting different results. And we make fun of this in politics, right? I mean, we just have to throw more money at it. We just, you know, get more of these people in power, then this will happen. This will turn out better, right? No, that's not how it works. But we do the same thing when we complain about things again and again. We see that with Israel, they complained again and again in the wilderness. The boy is reading through those years, and it just strikes me again every time you go through that. I mean, didn't you learn the last time? I mean, now so God's got to send snakes? I mean, last time it was fire, last time it was plagues. I mean, what does it take? And yet we do it. We complain again and again. How foolish we are. Do you understand that thinking you're always right is worse than being a fool? And let me tell you, husbands and wives, we're here sometimes, right? If we think we're always right, that's not going to end up well, right? And we're just following that same path. We see in our kids, don't model it for them. So Romans 12:16, you need to think about others, not just ourselves. The more we learn to put ourselves in other shoes, the more we will learn to be less foolish. Do you understand? You realize how much we need to humble ourselves, fear the Lord, and leave the sin behind. So Proverbs 3:7 says, fear the Lord, depart from evil. That's what repentance is. Have you done that? Have you realized your sin? Said, God, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. You agree with Him, and you turn from that to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what repentance is. Otherwise, we will reap the consequences of our foolish pride. Galatians 6, after I've referred to how we're self-deceived, right? Anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each examine his own work, and then we'll have rejoicing of himself and not in another. We bear our own load. And share with those who teach us. It says, do not be deceived. Verse 7. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. The laws of sowing and reaping are immutable. They don't change. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. You reap later than you sow. You reap in the same kind as you sow. And you have to sow to reap. You can't change that. Too many times, it's been said, we try to sow our wild oats and pray for a crop failure. It doesn't work. We will reap the consequences. And I would love to spare you from the consequences of sin, which is death. Don't go down that road. Help us to see, help others to see that as well. Will you help others to see the end of their foolishness? 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Right? This is what we need. We need to be careful in that process, though. Jude 23. Hating even their garments that are stained by the flesh. Are we careful pulling them out of the fire? But we should be getting involved. Are you distinguishing the end of fools? Growing up, I watched my dad struggle to understand computers. He had a love-hate relationship with them, mostly hate. Right? He had to use them for his work and everything, but they just didn't make sense to him. And that's part of that is a generational thing. But really, they only do what they're told. And so we need to be careful with that. Are you struggling to know how to interact with fools? Will you follow the instructions of determining their character, dealing carefully with them, and distinguishing their end? Will you learn how to interact with fools as God instructs? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its applicability to our lives. Help us to live in light of it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.